Hey, what's up? It's The Drive with Sam Piper, ESPN Radio 93.5. Derek Piper, Lante, Kyle Tosk. A lot to tackle today here on a Monday. We got some news.
Yeah.
On the Illini basketball side, one step closer to filling the roster for the 2024-2025 season. I'm continuing my countdown to where they're almost full, and then thus I'm allowed to go on vacation.
I was going to say, do something to get away, right?
Yeah.
Just as a for the record, I'll be here all week.
Fantastic. You got that in writing?
I have to leave early tomorrow, but other than that, I'll be here the rest of the week because Kyle's leaving.
That's right.
How dare him do that? I know. Going to get out of here. And how the finals, Kyle?
Not too bad.
No?
Had one this morning. I have my last one tomorrow, and then I'm done with sophomore
okay.
year.
What was this morning?
Anthropology.
Oh, okay. All right. I think I took that down at Southern. I think I kind of enjoyed it, to be honest with you. Is that weird?
Anthropology. Is it bad they got to look up which apology it is?
It's about animals,
yeah,
isn't it?
Yeah. You know? Study of humanity.
Or humanity. Oh, okay. Yeah. Maybe I was wrong on that one then.
Like evolution and stuff?
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
Yeah, that was evolution. The first unit.
Okay. And then what's tomorrow?
It's a RST class, recreation, sport, and tourism. It's like a diversity
okay.
type of thing.
So you're majoring in communication?
Journalism.
All right. And a minor in sales?
Minor in RST.
Oh, RST.
Recreation, sport, and tourism.
Oh, what would you do with that?
It's just there's a lot. It's like sport management, and there's a lot that falls under that umbrella.
Gotcha. I think I remember asking Dad, and I'm like, I'm not sure what I'm going to minor in. He goes, well, why wouldn't you just minor in sales? You can always do sales.
Mm.
I was like, oh, well, yeah, that probably sounds like a good idea, Dad, so that's what I did.
No, I didn't minor in anything.
You didn't?
No.
I thought you had to minor.
No minors for me.
Oh, I didn't know that.
I didn't know I was going to minor in anything till like 2 weeks ago.
So. Oh.
You don't have to.
I thought that was I honestly thought it was automatic that you had to pick a major and a minor.
I minored in Blue Guys.
Blue Guys?
At CAMS, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. And well.
Probably was actually my major, yeah.
You did that very well, I heard.
Double major. 4 years, though. Got them both done.
That's awesome, man.
Yeah, man.
I honestly did not know you guys were teaching me something. By the way, I still have the cough. So I apologize.
It's all good.
I walk in coughing and Kyle's like, you still are coughing. I'm like, I don't know what to do. I wish I could say, no, I'm not. There's got to be somebody out there that's been on the same escapade with me for a week. Week and a half. It started like 2 Wednesdays ago or something.
Mm.
Be 2 weeks Wednesday.
Man,
that's just ridiculous, isn't it? I'm sleeping with a humidifier. I've put Vicks on my feet. I've drank. I've not drank. I've eaten chicken noodle soup. I mean, I literally have tried. I've taken NyQuil. I've taken now actual medication. And this thing just keeps staring me in the mirror going, nope, you're not beating me. You're not beating me. I am the Cardinals trying to win a game.
Oh, no.
That's exactly who I am. I am literally the St. Louis Cardinals.
If you're
trying
the Cardinals, then you're done.
I'm done.
And it's over for you, man.
So this might be retirement for me. I might be done.
Because the Cardinals season ended over the weekend. I said that their season was over if they lost on Friday night, Sonny Gray toes the hill, and can't beat the White Sox. They actually won because Sonny Gray didn't get up a run.
Yeah.
But then they lost the next two. So
to the White Sox.
Yeah.
And I'm sorry to those White Sox fans out there. I don't mean to use you as the to the White Sox.
I don't know if I'm sorry on them.
You have been so bad this year, and now you have brought us to your depths and proved to us that you are better than us.
Mm.
So Jeff Jones is going to join us from the Belleville News Democrat at 4:05. I figure I woke up this morning. I'm like, let's just tear it down one more time and be done with the Cardinals.
Okay.
Fair enough. May, in early May, we're finished. There are so many things you need to do to that club. But we can talk about that next hour. I know we've got a lot.
We'll touch on the Cubs as well.
Yeah.
The Cubbies went 2-3 against the Brewers. They beat Freddy Peralta yesterday.
Man, that's a good win.
No doubt. Absolutely.
Did you beat him pretty bad?
5-0.
5-0.
Cubs starters went 18 1/3 scoreless innings in the series.
That's incredible.
Should have swept them if Alzolay didn't blow his 7th game on Friday.
It's really been 7.
I think he has 5 blown saves, and then 2 other games he's come in and given up crucial runs.
Who's your biology teacher that's really good?
Javier Assad.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's been outstanding.
He looks like the guy that literally teaches biology at Lincoln Park Tech during the day, and then he runs down to Wrigley, goes out on the mound, and he has like the best ERA of any pitcher in baseball. That's exactly what he looks like to me. And he's really effective.
He's doing the Dennis Quaid, the yeah, rookie. Yeah. Wasn't he a teacher and a baseball coach in high school?
Yeah. I think so. He's very effective. He doesn't, I mean, it doesn't seem like he's got anything that's crazy and like powerful. Or, God,
throws like 92, 93.
Yeah. He must locate as well as you can locate. And that's one thing probably, Pipes, we don't think about with pitching is location can make such a big difference, right? It can make such a big deal. You don't always have to throw 98. If you can throw 92, 93 and put it exactly where you want to put it, mm-hmm. because, you know, they do testing ahead of time. You know, they know, you know, like the blue red on your video game, you know, the reds, like I would have all blue right on mine, but you know, they know where you like it. They know where you don't like it. And guys that can place, man, Sonny Gray's good at that. And when you can place, then man, it makes a big difference.
Placement, mixing pitches, yes. Keeping guys off balance.
That's right.
Yeah,
that's right. So you see it a lot in high school too. You see kids that don't overpower, but they've got like a little change up or they've got a breaking ball. And now what's going to happen is about every other inning, somebody's going to run into their fastball and they're going to hit it hard and do some damage. But the rest of the time, they're just keeping guys on their toes, confused. And you watch it and it's like, how is that dude beating us? But you realize that location and mixing speed. And I mean, it's pitching is an art. There's no doubt about it.
Before we move on to the news of the day with Illinois basketball, mm-hmm. speaking of hitting the ball hard, Illinois baseball.
Oh my.
2-3 against Ohio State, now 18-2 at home. My family actually went out to Illinois Field yesterday.
Sweet.
Took Cade to his first baseball game. He was loving it. Two home runs for the Illini, Brody Harding and Drake Westcott, both went deep. And the Illini, with a firm lead in the Big Ten, most home runs hit by a lot in the Big Ten. They're one of the top 10 to 15 teams nationally in home runs hit.
Wow.
This year, but I had it pulled up here.
They need four more to set the record, single season.
Is that right?
Big Ten record, I think, right? Or no, just single season record, I think.
Wow. If you look in the Big Ten, Illinois leads all conference squads with 88 bombs this year. The next closest is Indiana with 64.
Holy cow. Dan Hartlib getting it done this year. And, you know, they started off this season god-awful.
They did.
And it was one of those where I remember talking on the show one day, you and I think it was off the air, and I said something to you like, man, it looks like Illinois baseball and softball are off to a bad start. I said, is it going to be another long season there? Not another, not like it's every year, obviously.
Yeah, but they haven't been to the tournament in a while.
They haven't. So I kind of said, you know, like, is it going to be a bad season? And then, man, they're 18-2 at home.
They are.
They just caught fire. They got the good win over Indiana State. They're one game ahead of three teams in the Big Ten, and one of those teams is coming in this weekend, right? Actually, Iowa, I think, is two games behind them, maybe. So Iowa's coming here this weekend, and then they go to Purdue. Illinois goes to Purdue to finish it off. If this squad can win a Big Ten championship, I think it would be the third in so many years. I can't remember the years, but yeah. Kudos to Dan Hartlib and his squad. I mean, they are
absolutely
just really playing some fun baseball, and I know people are taking notice of them.
Oh, it was a great crowd yesterday.
I bet.
Really, really good day for some baseball. And I mean, the stands were pretty packed.
That's awesome.
Pretty packed. So,
and a nice day. Isn't it amazing when you just get a nice day?
It was awesome.
We were in Chillicothe, which is above Peoria, on Saturday, and it's just one of those. I was sitting there watching the game, and for a second, I just kind of paused, and I'm like, my goodness, is it nice having a nice day? Because, you know, the whole season has been atrocious. We've had like four games that have been nice, and woe is me. It's like that every year. But
spring baseball and Central Illinois.
Yep, but you just take it for granted. Or I'm sorry, you don't take it for granted when you get a nice day. I got a little bit of a tan. I was like, man, this is nice sitting here on the river here in the Illinois River Valley. So, it was good, although I'm okay with not doing a double trip of Fairbury on Friday and Chillicothe on Saturday. I mean, I might as well be in the big leagues. You know, going to support my son in Major League Baseball, that as far as those drives are. But, yeah, Illinois baseball, man, that's awesome. We're going to have to get Dan on. I know that we've really neglected that this season, and I'm sure he's waiting to get on here and punish me to the nth degree.
We should do that next week. This week before the home finale series.
We should.
Iowa.
I don't know if they play midweek this week. They don't.
I don't think they do.
Yeah. Okay. Friday through Sunday.
Okay. So this might be a good week to set that up and get him on, because I agree that that's the talk of campus right now, Derek Piper. And it would be cool if they could hold down or get a Big Ten championship. Isn't it funny? Like, they're leading the Big Ten, but overall their rank or their what do you call that? Their whatever is like 61st in the country. So they're still like,
is that their net ranking?
Yeah, maybe that's
their RPI. Whatever. I don't think it was a net, but.
But they're literally.
How many quad one wins?
Yeah, right. They're literally still on the bubble.
I know.
Of making the NCAA tournament, yet they're winning the Big Ten.
Yep.
Can you imagine a basketball team ripping through, leading the, like with like three games to go in March? Your team is winning the Big Ten by a game or two, and you are on the. You're squarely like as the last four team in the NCAA tournament. I mean, the only time that's ever happened is basically Nebraska the year that they. They weren't winning the Big Ten, but
they were a top five team in the Big Ten,
yeah, and didn't make it,
the tournament, yeah,
which is unbelievable. But yeah, it's just hard to believe that they're in that spot and yet not firmly into the tournament yet. Now, I would assume if they win the Big Ten, I can't imagine they would leave them out, but I guess possible. I mean, now of course they have the Big Ten tournament,
yep,
which I'm assuming they've already nailed down a spot in that, but. Yeah, it's just hard. It's kind of weird to sit there and think, well, hold on a second. They should easily be in the tournament, but they're not.
Maybe we can effort a NCAA baseball bracketologist.
That'd be cool.
To enlighten us.
That would be kind of cool. Honestly,
if there is one out there.
I'm sure there is, right? There's got to be the one guy that does, like the Bart Torvik. Is that a guy?
It's a guy, yeah.
Okay. And then, there's
Joe Lenardi.
Yeah, I mean, there's got to be guys like
Ken Pomeroy.
Ken Pomeroy, yeah. So I think we should do that and also get Dan on this week.
Get Mo Lenardi on.
Yeah, that'd be perfect. Can we get John Mazalak on and ask him some questions? I've got a few.
I got any questions. I have a lot of things to say, though.
Oh, my goodness. Ugh.
All right.
Fill me in on Illinois,
basketball.
My man. Basketball.
New big man coming to town. Across international waters.
He plays right wing for the Vancouver Canucks.
His name sounds like it. Tomislav Ivicic. He is the brother of Big Z, who was at Kentucky last year, now having followed John Calipari to Arkansas. Seven-footer, Croatian, 7 foot 250 thereabouts, I would say. And he's played in pro ball over there.
Okay.
20 years old, turned 21 in August. Lefty, you got to like that. It seems like Brad has an affinity for lefty. I don't know if that's if that's just a coincidence, but there have been so many of them. But, man, he's a legit stretch big man that can shoot the three, that can have good touch around the basket with his back to the basket, really good passer. He's just a very skilled big that I know – I'm not going to say he's Coleman Hawkins because he's not. They're different style of players. But Brad, with his offense and the floor spacing and everything that we've talked about – that have helped maximize, you know, mismatches, ISOs, mid-posts, that type of stuff. Just gives you a lot of flexibility offensively. To have a five that can pull away from the basket and put defenses in a bind, that's something that's obviously appealed to Illinois and Brad Underwood, and they certainly are getting that in Tomislav Ivicic. Defensively, with his size and his length, he's got the ability to block some shots.
Okay.
I wouldn't say he's a tremendous, like, eraser at the rim. He's not the best of athletes in terms of explosiveness. His brother is more of that wow play guy, whether it's going up for a block or being able to finish above the rim with the slam. But what's interesting is that as you look at his team that he's played on has split between two leagues. One is over there in Montenegro and Serbia, where he's played in that league. 22 a game, 12 points, 7.5 rebounds, 1.5 blocks, 56% from the field, and two attempts per game from three at a 46% clip. So that's very, very efficient numbers, especially as a scorer. If you look at the ABA league, which is going to have some familiar names, has played against some former college stars, some former guys that have been in the NBA, a little bit less in terms of playing time. You look at 17 minutes a game. But still a rotational guy off the bench, has started some games as well in that competition. But 7 points, four rebounds a game, 58% from the field. Recently had a game where he was on the other side of Frank Kaminsky. Frank Kaminsky's playing on a team in that league. Other familiar names, this was a brief skim through it. Brandon Paul is playing over there.
Oh, wow.
Shabazz Napier from UConn playing over there. So you see a lot of guys that are, again, former college stars, guys that have gotten cups of coffee in the NBA. Kaminsky had a handful of years in the NBA until here recently. So he's played against guys that are talented, but also just flat-out grown men, like right. guys in their 30s. He's got a dude on his team that's like losing his hair a decent amount. Like, these are it's not a situation where you don't know if he can play against guys that are, you know, physically developed. And obviously in the Big Ten, you certainly are looking for that because it's a very athletic league, a very physical league. And this is one that I would slot in as your starting five man. I still think Merez is going to play a good amount at the five as well. But a pretty talented front court that Brad Underwood has assembled here with Avisic, with Merez, and then Benham Rickhouse, Kerry Booth as well. Yep. So I definitely like the skill and the shot making that guys like Avisic, Hum Rickhouse, and Kerry Booth can provide.
Knowing they're going to still add guys, but I would like to go through kind of what your assessment of this Illini team would be next season and what we're going to look like. Because you had, this season, you had obviously some guards and some wing guys that could take over games. And again, Illinois is still probably trying to go out and land that scoring wing. But it does almost appear like you could go more half-court offense this season with the bigs that you have. And I'm not sure how well these big guys run. I can ask you that in a second. Would this kid be essentially like going into his junior year in terms of age-wise, right? Yeah. He's 20 years old.
20 turning 21. He'll be 21 by the time the season starts.
And it is funny because sometimes you'll bring in a recruit and you look at their, like, you know, baseball card numbers on the back and it's like, holy crap, he averaged 29 a game and this and that. And then you look at this kid on one of those leagues and it's like, well, wait a minute, he scored like 7 points a game. Like, what are we doing here? And then you realize, you think about how good Frank Kaminsky was in college.
Yeah.
And he's playing against him now. Now, I'm sure Kaminsky probably, I don't know, it's hard to say how old he is with regards to that he would have been better in college than he is now. I don't know. I mean, we all age, but I'm sure that Kaminsky's gotten even more adept at doing those crazy moves like he could in college.
He's 31.
31. Okay, so he's probably kind of still in his prime. But certainly playing against guys like that and then coming here to play against college kids that don't have that kind of experience, that's got to be a big thing. You know, here's the deal, though. Here's the rub to me, Pipes. Except for Georgie, I don't really know how these guys are going to turn out because the rest of them haven't even seen it. Like, we never had a chance to see it, right? Like, the one young man that's going to be drafted maybe –
Zachary Perrine.
He played one game, I think.
Yeah, 2 minutes against Indiana. Mop-up duty.
So it's like you've got, like, we've had these guys come along and, you know, for a minute you kind of get excited and you think, all right, well, that's bringing in the international flavor. And then we never see him. Literally, Georgie's the only guy that really, I think, unless I'm missing something,
You can say Benjamin Bossman's Verdonk.
Well, that's true. I guess you can. And you think Moretti. Of Kofi and stuff. Well,
if you go in that direction, especially you think about Puerto Rico, Dominican Republic.
That's a good
products.
Point.
You've got Curbelo. You've got Andres Feliz. But a lot of those guys, when you talk about Georgie even for a year in New Jersey, Kofi had spent a handful of years in New York.
Right.
Some of these guys have already come over to the U.S. and played against competition that we're familiar with, like an AAU, high school, those type of things.
Gotcha.
So there is a little bit of a difference depending on the situation.
Yeah, so it's kind of funny. Like, I don't know how excited I should be is what I'm essentially getting at.
I get it. Yeah, I think that one difference between a guy like this, obviously, and someone like Benjamin Bossman's Verdonk, that's one of the things where BBV never came over to the state. Him arriving in Illinois is the first time that he moved to the States.
Wow.
Where Georgie was here. You had Kofi that was here and things like that. So when you have somebody come straight over, of course, like Matisse Vassil is another one.
That's another guy I'm thinking
He
about.
Never panned out to be much of anything and obviously went back overseas shortly. I think he obviously was only here for 1 year. But what I like is that, number one, his brother, and you can't say that they're the same player because they're not. His brother came over and has gotten a lot of fanfare and is already on NBA radars and has a really, really high ceiling. I would say that Tomislav's ceiling isn't as high because he's not as athletic and maybe an inch or two shorter. But again, we're talking about somebody that's played against known commodities,
right,
like a Frank Kaminsky, like guys that have been college standouts, that have been pros for a long time, that have been in the NBA for here and there. And I we'll see how he adjusts to, number one, you got to have an adjustment to move to the U.S., a new culture and new,
sure,
you know, not around people that you're familiar with and those type of things. But I do think college basketball will be an interesting step for him, but I like that he's played pro ball. It's different going against guys who are that age and that maturity to then step over into this type of situation. And he's not somebody either where some of these other additions Illinois made, whether they're international or not, like a Brandon Lieb or
right,
big guys that are a decent amount far away from their physical potential. Like, oh, well, once he adds 25 pounds, then he can handle his own and play in college basketball. When you're 250 and you're 7 foot, you're already like, could he add more strength? Yes. I think that's a big part of reaching his potential and how he battles like Omar Ballo from Indiana and some of these other bigs in the Big Ten will be interesting, but he's got some maturity to him. And that shows not only in the fact he'll be 21, but his body is a lot more physically mature than somebody you'd get who's 17, 18 years old.
That's fair. And I have a lot of questions. My next question would be, how does Brad and Jeff Alexander and these guys, how do they even know about where to go?
Like, that's a good question. Yeah.
I'm sure it's a simple thing for them. There's probably leagues that they know to go. But it seems so daunting to me to think, all right, Lon, here's the deal. I need you to recruit international players. I'm like, do you know how big the world is? Like, where do I even begin? So I always wonder, and I'm sure that they have
a month in Venice, and I'll get back to you.
Give me a month, and I'll tell you where we're at here. I mean, do they have like AAU programs over there, or just literally these are professional leagues that these guys can still then come back and play college?
Yeah, there is that circumstance where you got pro leagues, guys who are amateurs that haven't turned pro yet. As far as their age goes, I don't know what the exact rules are. It used to be if you took a pro contract that your eligibility would be done. I don't know if there are like loopholes, if you like had to pay back what you were getting. Because
I wondered that too.
Tomislav's of age to be over there at 20, turning 21, that he could be on a pro deal. I would assume, though, that he has not been doing that just to maintain his eligibility. Although, again, I don't have that exact answer for you as of now. That's kind of usually what you're looking for, is somebody that has been playing as an amateur, even in a pro league, and would still have that eligibility. So this one was just an Orlando Antigua special because he recruited his brother.
Got it.
He recruited Big Z and familiar with the family, knew that obviously he had a twin brother. And I had been told that Tomislav had some options to come over last year if he wanted. Him and Big Z weren't going to play together at Kentucky. Just wasn't not a fit for both guys who were fives to suit up in the same place. But ultimately, they didn't exactly have the situation that they wanted to pull the trigger on it. So they had him stay overseas or stay back in Europe to continue playing. And obviously, this presented itself. But to answer your question about how do they find these guys, a lot of times the FIBA events, which NCAA coaches can go over and watch. So you have, you know, a Croatia team. You have a Spain team, which like Nicola Moretti played for.
Yeah.
You've got some of these, or you know, you think Latin America. You got Dominican Republic, who Orlando played for the Dominican Republic national team, and of course you have eyes and connections to like their junior national team, the Puerto Rican junior national team. So these are events where it's easy to see a lot of different guys from different places play against each other, and that allows you to get familiar with those. And of course, another way I think is just getting in with some agents and also just people who have connections over there that can tip you off to certain players on the rise and whatnot. Now on the high end, and we'll talk about, and we've mentioned him before, but like Igor Demin from he's from Russia. He's playing in Spain right now, projected as a lottery pick in next year's draft. Illinois is in the mix for him, trying to get him to come over here to Illinois. Those are pretty easy to find because they've already got like draft guys like Jonathan Givony tweeting about them and those type of things.
Fair enough.
The situation is different depending on it, but I'd say the FIBA circuit or however you want to call it is probably the easiest way to become familiar with those. But yeah, I think you got to go over there and meet people and get those connections to kind of tip you off on the front end, because sometimes if you're seeing them maybe blow up and all of a sudden people are talking about them, maybe too late. Somebody's already entrenched in there pretty deep.
Well, and I know the question, I heard you guys talk about it last. I think it was Bill that asked, you know, if everything's for the money, then what does it really matter who your assistant is? Like a guy like Orlando Antigua, mm-hmm. I don't know how much Ivicic is watching Illinois basketball, right? I have no idea. Did he even 2 months ago know that there was a University of Illinois? I don't know. I mean, I don't know this stuff. And so, you know, I don't know how prominent that is over in Serbia or wherever. I mean, are they sitting down on a Saturday going, hey, there's a big one today between Illinois and Indiana. I want to watch this one break down. Mm-hmm. So that's where that comes into play, obviously, having a guy like Orlando. And I know Jeff Alexander has done a good job with the overseas and such. I mean, there's kids in the United States that probably don't know much about Illini basketball, even though Illinois has been really good the last few years. And, of course, they went to an Elite Eight this season. They've made four in a row NCAA tournaments? I mean, but there's still probably players that are just like, I don't know. I mean, they know as much about Illinois as I know about Fresno State, maybe, let's say. You know, I just don't follow Fresno State. So it's interesting that I thought of that while you were talking there. It's like, that's where you do have to have someone like Orlando that can pinpoint a certain guy. And I would assume when they go over there and watch these, there's probably certain guys they've got their eye on, but I'm sure somebody could pop while they're there too. I mean,
oh yeah,
it has to be, right? I mean, that they look at and think, whoa.
Well, I mean, that's how Georgia got recruited. I know that wasn't.
Oh, is that right?
They weren't over in the Republic of Georgia. They were in New Jersey, but the staff went to watch a different big man and they saw Georgie on that team, and Brad's like, I want that guy.
Got it. How many of these are too many? Like I say these like they're products. I mean, in other words, you know, there is that chance. We just talked about how Matisse never developed and Moretti never really developed. And I think he could eventually Moretti.
BBV was nothing BBV more than
had 1 year,
a backup
right?
big guy.
Yeah. So, I mean, I guess it's like, you know, I know this season it seems like Illinois has to throw a few more cards in the middle, if you will, for guys like this, because mm-hmm. it seems like we're running out here in the United States somehow. But, you know, that's the other thing I wanted to bring up with you real quick. And I know we need to catch a break, and I got plenty of questions that can last us through the hour. But are there still guys out there that are going to try the draft and then come back to college probably? And so that's like, excuse me, that's like a whole nother wave maybe of players. Obviously, Illinois knows who these guys are.
Well, with the new rules, you have to have been in the portal now.
Oh, that's
May
1st. Right. That's right.
So
that's right.
There are going to be guys that are probably later in their decision-making process. They'll wait and maybe are leaning towards the draft or just fully focused on the draft, and then will evaluate where they want to go to college if it reaches that point. But
Coleman, the perfect example.
Coleman's one of those for sure. I think, but of the pool of players that will or could potentially become available, that's now clear because you have to have been in the portal. Unless, of course, somebody texted their trainer and we don't have that guy in the portal yet because of the stupid loophole by the NCAA. As long as you've communicated with somebody in the athletic department that you have interest in transferring.
Are you serious?
You can use that as a timestamp to say, well, I got that in before May 1st, so I'm in the portal now.
You're serious here.
I am dead serious.
I did not know that.
So somebody this week, I'm not guaranteeing this, but it seems like somebody this week will pop into the, hey, this guy is in the portal because he texted somebody and said that he was going in.
I was on my eighth squat with Fletch, and I mentioned, hey, you know, I wouldn't mind looking at the portal one day.
As long as he hasn't been writing or on electronic timestamp,
Oh, you got to have some sort of, okay, exactly. Gotcha. Say it.
I texted that at 11 o'clock right before the May 1st at midnight struck, so I'm good. I'm in.
Hey, we've got a couple of good questions coming in, including Dan wanted to ask about, are we recruiting over Morez? That'd be something that Pipes could answer. Also, Coleman Hawkins now, does this make it even less of a chance that he's back now that they're bringing in a couple of bigs that kind of play his spot? So those are a couple of things that we can let Pipes ring true on next hour. Or I'm sorry, this hour, next segment.
Yeah, let's do that.
Next hour, we got Jeff Jones from the Belleville News Democrat to just tear down the Cardinals. Just tear it down.
Sounds good. Sounds like a plan.
It's just, it's so bad. Don't sit there and smile either, Kyle. I see your little smirk, your little, boy, they are bad. Dude, they're terrible.
I just hate to see the Cardinals with a losing record. It really just breaks my heart.
They're flat out terrible. It's not even that. They're just terrible.
They're flat out terrible, man.
This isn't like one game, they lose 9-8, and then the next game, it's unfortunate that they lose 1-0. It's just, they can't score.
Right.
They cannot score.
It's not like Lance Lynn is like, oh, well, we knew he was cooked. He's got an 18 ERA. Right. Like, he's actually been decent.
Yeah, the pitching has been... Of course, there's
so... Should we send Paul Goldschmidt to AAA, too?
Well, I mean, I kept yelling for Walker to get down there.
Jeez, he's brutal.
And then Steven Matz. I mean, John Mozeliak, this is the last of the... Like, that's the last of his... This guy, I always argued for, and he made some good decisions in his time here. He really has, and it led to a lot of winning. Mm-hmm. But he cannot make a good decision anymore.
No.
He just flat out can't. And Steven Matz is the perfect ending to his career as president of baseball operations. Mm. A guy that we were going to trust after not being able to trust him his entire time here. We were going to trust that he would be good. And then isn't it funny how miraculously when they suck, they're hurt? Isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
I mean, it's like I'm not bad at radio. It's just that I've got a cough. That's why the show was bad today. Otherwise, I'm great at radio. I mean, I just love how it's like, oh, Steven Matz sucked today. Oh, wait, he's on the IL. His back hurts. It's like, come on. Just, I don't know. Kyle, do you want to weigh in? Looked like you had your hand up.
I think he wants to push you to.
Oh, he wants to get me to the Busey. Yep. Yeah, mm-hmm. Let's do that. Yeah, do not let me start on a. That's why I wanted to have Jeff on, so at least I can't go on rants. I have to ask the question and shut up. And then maybe I'll go on a rant.
No, we'll rant. Rant before the show's over.
That's perfect. And then I want to have a day of celebration for the Cubs because you know what? They're fun. And they have done some things that are fun to watch, and that's a team that I think is built to win this division. I thought that going in. So and they're showing that. And when they get Bellinger back and when they get some of these guys back.
I got a guy named Justin Steele making a start tonight.
Oh, is he back?
For the first time since the opening day.
That's unbelievable. Well, there you go. So things looking up for the Cubbies on the north side. And, of course, we're letting people look up to the White Sox on the south side. It's perfect. All right, hit my button. Hey, congratulations, Busey. Busey doesn't get injured. Have you ever noticed this? They don't get injured. You know why? Because they're good. They're recognized among America's best banks for 2024 by Forbes. It's the third consecutive year that's been done. Ranked 40th overall, Busey was the second-ranked bank headquartered in Illinois. In addition to being among America's best banks, they're also honored to be recognized in Illinois as a best place to work. From exceeding the needs of customers and colleagues to serving communities, Busey Associates have shown unmatched dedication for more than 155 years. Whatever your financial needs, business and beyond, Busey promises the resources to help you succeed. Stop by one of their many convenient locations, and we all know they've got many convenient locations. Call 1-800-67-BUSEY or visit Busey.com to learn more. Just walk in and sit down and say, what can you guys do for me when it comes to banking and other everything else they do? I mean, they have a myriad of things that they can help you with. That is Busey, member FDIC.
Here's another home improvement insight from Kramer Siding and Window. New roofing and siding are a winning combination that can instantly change the look, feel, and function of your home. Our Kramer Siding and Window team takes pride in being an Owens Corning Platinum Preferred Contractor, able to offer a best-in-the-business 50-year warranty. Pair it with preservation siding in your favorite style and color, and your home will be a showstopper. Start today and save 10% on roofing and 25% on siding. Call us, click on kramersiding.com, or visit the showroom in Champaign.
Bet like the pros with the world's largest sports book right at your fingertips. Circa Sports is now available in Illinois. Hi, I'm Derek Stevens. I've been a lifelong sports bettor, and I'm the owner of Circa Sports. We're excited that the Circa Sports app is now ready for action. Experience big app bets with high betting limits, tight money line splits, and more. Now you can download, fund, and bet like a pro from anywhere in Illinois. Download your new bookie today at circusports.com. If you or someone you know may have a problem with gambling, call 1-800-GAMBLER or text ILGAMB to 833-234.
I'm Leslie Ingold. I am a nurse and a regional stroke coordinator for OSF Healthcare in Urbana and Danville. May is Stroke Awareness Month, and there's an easy mnemonic that we can refer to when we're worried that someone we know or someone we're near is having a stroke, and we tend to use the acronym BFAST. B is for balance. Am I leaning to one side or the other? E is for eyes. Vision trouble. F is for face. Take a look at their face. Does it look symmetrical? A is for arms. Stick your arms out, palms up, close your eyes, and take a look to see if one arm drifts or if they both stay the same height while you hold them for a count of 10. S is for speech. When speech comes out, does it make sense? And then T is for time. Call 911. Get to the hospital right away. Our treatment methods are based on how quickly that you can get to the hospital for treatment. Learn more at osfhealthcare.org.
Next week on an all-new Law & Order.
Order! Order! We convene here for case 217, Spring Green versus Weeds. Spring Green, the floor is yours.
The weeds are infectious. The weeds steal the beauty from your lawn. We offer personalized lawn care, a mid-season checkup, and a simple and transparent process. Just click on to spring-green.com for a quote.
Okay, Spring Green wins. Weeds, you're out.
That's spring-green.com.
Local, personal, trusted. Hi, this is Atta Durakan with First Federal Savings Bank of Champaign-Urbana, and we've been serving Champaign County since 1908. Our institution is safe, strong, and stable. We operate on a foundation of responsible and sound practices, and you can rest easy knowing we're your bank. Rated 5-star superior by Bauer Financial, Inc., fast, friendly, and local. With local loan decisions and underwriting, if you're not already banking with us, give us a try, and we think you'll love it here. First Federal Savings Bank, 356bank.com, member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender, NMLS. 435-120.
Looking for a place to host a corporate meeting, intimate gathering, or a large-scale celebration? If so, the University of Illinois' Alice Campbell Alumni Center offers the perfect space and staff to make your function a success. A few rooms offered at the center include the elegant ballroom, the Richmond Family Gallery, and the premier and professional executive boardroom. For more information on renting a space at the Alice Campbell Alumni Center, visit uiaa.org/alumni-center or call 1-800-355-2585. Go Illini!
I'm Justin Eich, co-owner of Fred's Plumbing, Heating, Air Conditioning, Electric, and Underground.
So, Justin, tell me what you see as typical when it comes to sewer repair. Give me a scenario.
Your sewer's backed up and somebody comes along and says, you need this repair for X amount of dollars. Here's my price. And you don't think to go looking for another company or a second opinion because you don't feel like you have time.
So is it possible that you might get charged a little more because it's kind of a desperate moment? Do some companies do that?
Oh, absolutely they will. They know you're in a pinch. Typically, if you call us, me or Will can be out there within an hour to look at that problem for you. Whether you call me first or you call me second, make sure you give me a call.
Anything else, Justin?
You can always trust Fred's.
Great to know. Thank you. That's Justin Eich, the co-owner of Fred's Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning, Electric, and Underground. If you want more information about this great 45-year family-owned company, just go to fredscu.com. That's fredscu.com.
A slap of the bat, high fives at the plate. They're all celebrated at Pia Sports Bar and Grill after the game. Super beer specials, great drinks, big screen TVs, and fun food all await you at Pia's. Whether it be Pia's delicious wings, the big pork tenderloin, or Pia's famous Grand Slam or Slugger Burger, you'll find all your favorites available until 11 p.m. Chill out at Pia's in the beer garden and enjoy being served by a great staff. See you at Pia's, Springfield and Mattis, Champagne. Pain.
Marriott.
There you have it.
I had to correct myself. Right? I got to bring everybody into the like what we do behind the scenes. Like as soon as the commercial ended or the commercial started, I looked at you guys. I'm like, Myrit? I don't think that's right. But you let it go.
I said, you know, I knew what you were trying to say.
Yeah, yeah.
I didn't know exactly. Admittedly, I didn't have the exact correction for you.
We had to bring it up. Yeah. Three smart folks in here, but Kyle was right, Myriad. So I knew the word I was going for. I just did not know how to say it. So probably I need to stay in my own lane and not try to act smarter than what I am.
It's all good.
Okay. There you go. Good.
Let's get to some of the texts in the U of I Atlanta Link text line. One from the 217 said, Lon, we listen because we love your rants. And Neil rants also when the Cardinals weren't playing well.
Dad would say maybe four really like words that I couldn't say on the air, and that was it. And he'd move on. That was it.
He said myriad?
No, he did not. Dad's favorite line was, well, we must have gone out partying in Chicago last night. Like, you know, you'd watch a Cubs-Cardinals game, a 120 start on a Saturday, and they'd have three errors in the first inning. And he's like, well, I know who was out till 4 a.m. last night. That was always one. Yeah, he would get really upset with the Cardinals, but back then you had to listen to it. I know you still, I hope people still listen to us when we do it. I still love listening to Cardinals baseball. I truly do. And, but we would sit in the basement and we would fry, he'd fry bluegill and stuff and Jack Buck would be on and Mike Shannon and, you know, and I don't know, it seemed like the Cardinals won more back then. So I didn't seem like we weren't as upset, it seems like, but although the 90s were terrible. So, yeah. So he would throw out some words that I had never heard of in my life. And I'm like, what does that mean?
The Cardinals that I know have won a lot more than what we've seen the last season plus.
It's weird. Yeah. Like, you are like a bottom feeder team now.
Hunkered down in the basement of the NL Central.
Yeah. Like, last year was the, is this an outlier? Kind of one of those things, right? Mm-hmm. Like, okay, well, we knew we needed this, but this team is too good not to be better than what they are. And then while you're saying that, while you're going down that path, you, oh, by the way, have three of the top seven home run hitters in baseball that you used to have, but you made the decision to get rid of them because you couldn't develop them, Garcia and O'Neill. Now, Tyler O'Neill, that guy, come on.
Yeah,
he's going to be surely hurt one of these days and be done for the season. But so while you're going down this path of, I think last year was just an outlier, this franchise has been so good. I mean, everybody's due a bad season, you know, without them having to tank. Now it appears they're tanking without trying to tank.
They're not trying, yeah.
So, you know, everybody, like, I know a lot of people, and I've said it 100 times, just tear it down. I mean, if this is what I'm going to watch all year, then I'd rather just trade Goldie. I love Goldschmidt. He's been good with us. He won an MVP. I mean, I hope it'd be great if he went in the Hall of Fame in a Cardinal uniform. That'd be awesome. But why not help yourself? So, and I know
him to get hot before we trade him.
Yeah, right, right. But we can talk more Cardinals.
We will. We'll let you get to your rant. But we do want to hit up the text line for a few Illini basketball questions here. Scott asks on the U of I Atlanta Link text line, does Coleman come back now with two bigs added at the five? Maybe he's getting at the fact that Coleman doesn't want to play the five and you have Merez and Tomislav there. I know that was something that Coleman didn't love about last season is having to guard the five. So if he were considering coming back, that maybe is taken away from him. I've said it. Kyle and I tackled this last week. I know that you felt like Coleman would end up back here. I'm on the other side of that fence, though. I just don't feel like he's coming back. I feel like if he goes back to school, he's going to fully utilize the portal, and the odds of him ending up here are pretty low, in my opinion.
And as a disclaimer, please trust Piper over me. Please. There is actual,
you never know.
There is actual evidence to support any kind of argument Derek has. My evidence is on my way from Villa Grove to Philo, I noticed a farm guy out in the fields and I kind of waved at him. And then all of a sudden I was like, I think Coleman's going to be back next year. Like that's how I do my thinking. So I think I would really go more on the side of Derek Piper here that he's not coming back. I think the only thing that made me think that with Coleman is that I do think he's very loyal. And he says that over and over, right? Yep. And he keeps the continuous, and I don't really watch these things, but I see him retweeted and stuff. But he keeps to the same theme of, would you all relax? You know, one of those. And we've seen Coleman do this before, and then it turned out good news for Illinois.
Yeah.
So I think that would be my one, like, educational argument to where my feeling of he's going to be back if he doesn't stay in the pros is that I feel like he's kind of taken us down that same path before, and it's always ended up in a good spot for Illinois. So, but yeah, it is interesting with Scott's question because it could work both ways. You know, the question was, does Coleman come back with two bigs now? I know you said that. So it's like, do you mean he won't come back now because they're getting guys that kind of played his spot? Or do you mean that now, like you said, there's guys to play the big and he can be the four that he always wanted to be? Mm-hmm. So I guess when you look at that, it's hard to say.
I would just, yeah, Illinois is recruiting as if obviously he's not going to be here. So they're adding their front court's pretty well solidified when you think about Thomas Lav and Merez at the five.
Yes.
Rick House, who can place. I would rather him play mostly four.
I know
that some say he could slot to the three. Offensively, that'd be fine. I don't know if he's guarding wings all that great, in my personal opinion, just based on what I've seen so far from him. And then Kerry Booth is a true stretch four, even though given the choice between the two. Obviously, I'd take Coleman because he's far more proven in what he could do.
No
and
doubt.
Kerry's more of a projection on what he'll become as a – he turns 19 sometime this summer. So still a young guy that has exciting potential. He's just – kind of a question of when he'll get there, but yeah, I feel like Illinois is showing that they are pursuing forward without the reservation or holding their breath as far as Coleman goes. And on Coleman's side, I just feel like he's ready to do something different, whether it's going to be
fair.
In the NBA or it's going to be at a different place. And I'm sure if he did pursue his path in the portal post pulling out of the draft, he'd probably be in line for a pretty big payday somewhere.
Big time. Yeah, and we see that before where you'll see Illinois recruiting this really good center that a lot of people want, and the next thing you know, the next week they're recruiting this other center, and you're like, well, wait a minute. Well, that's kind of the writing on the wall that they're not getting the one guy. And maybe so what you're saying here is they're essentially going out trying to get their next Coleman with some of these guys, you know, or someone that at least is similar to that, a stretch guy.
Yeah.
So that might be the way to look at this in the idea that they're probably moving on from Coleman.
How do you look at that, Kyle? And what do you feel like Illinois has done to make up for or just move past what was a talented front court last year with Coleman and Quincy, and obviously Dane was part of that mix, especially in the postseason. Are you with me on the – I think you're with me on the Coleman angle, but just in general – Thomas Love's addition and just what they've done post Coleman Hawkins, assuming his career here is over.
Yeah, I've been on the same side as you. I think Coleman's done here. I think them adding three bigs now in the portal along with the freshman kind of indicates that they feel the same. But I'm very intrigued by what they've done in the front court. They've added a ton of talent, a ton of shooting, a ton of skill. It's given them an opportunity, I think, to play some different lineups. Mm-hmm. Like I know last year Brad really liked playing five out and with Coleman and having a five man who could step out and shoot, and that's what Thomas Lav can bring you. If you want more of a bruiser interior rebounding presence, Merez Johnson can slide over to the five. You got a couple different options at the four, whether it's Kerry Booth, Benham Rickhouse, maybe even Trey White if you want to play a smaller lineup. I think the versatility that I can see in this front court and just kind of the youth and development that still can come for a lot of these guys outside of Rickhouse, obviously, who's playing his fifth year, I think is really intriguing. It's a talented group that is, I think, has a lot of upside and intrigue heading into next season that I still think can, if you get a lot of these guys for multiple seasons, can ultimately be one of the better front courts.
And you can throw, I like what you said there, you can throw a lot of different lineups at you. I love Boswell, don't get me wrong, and I like Dre and Ty, but I feel like you still need that one other guy, right, to add to that component. But you're right. I mean, you can throw different, like, I'm assuming Booth is going to be a different player than Rickhouse, right? I mean, obviously, Rickhouse will take you outside more probably than Booth. So you kind of get what you're going there. And like you said about Merez, you know, Merez is a guy that is going to be underneath, going to be really strong and such. So you're kind of just getting all these different – I mean, it's going to be – yeah, there's going to be a lot of stuff to play with if you're Brad Underwood trying to figure out what kind of style – And you can kind of see what team you've got next and what style's going to work against that. And I think he was really good at that this year in doing that.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. And Thomas Love's another piece that could potentially play multiple seasons here. So it, not saying that he won't be able to come in and be very serviceable as a starter in year one, because he seems capable of doing that, but maybe it's that second year where you're going to have potentially Kylan back. You could get Trey White back. You could get Kerry Booth again and Merez for a sophomore year. And I'm not trying to turn this, even though every time I mention that, I want to then like qualify it and say, well, it's not like they're not like all in this season and having high expectations for this season, because they will and they do. But I do feel like it's something, especially for those that don't love all the turnover this offseason, the idea of what you could bring back next offseason could really, number one, set you up to take another step forward, but just it gives you that potential to where you're not recycling over again, which I think is exciting.
Did we mess up with Dane? I mean, you can't really say that, though, because when else was he supposed to play this year?
Yeah, I mean, you go to an Elite Eight, you were the two seed in the Big Ten tournament.
I think I'd like to have Dane back. You know what I'm saying? I think I would feel better right now only because I know what he is.
Sure. No, and I get that. I think that, of course, you're not going to get someone like Ivicic if you have Dane and Merez.
Correct.
So how you kind of weight what Ivicic brings this year versus what Dane does at Memphis, I think that Dane obviously earned what he got in the postseason, and he was a difference maker in his minutes and helped you in some big spots. I mean, how we would have thought of this season could have been a lot different if he doesn't provide that spark against Ohio State in the first game of the Big Ten tournament.
Because
that's one of the things you hang your hat on with last season, is that you won the Big Ten tournament. That's one of them. In the NCAA tournament, I mean, he took over the game against Morehead State in what was a competitive ball game for 25 minutes. Without that, I'm not saying Illinois loses, but it was one thing
made me feel a lot better
that swung it clearly in Illinois' direction. Do they go to the Elite Eight without Dane Danger? I'm not sure. So I certainly understand that. I do think that Dane, along the way, could Illinois have done anything different? I don't know. I mean, he was a different player down the stretch. Like, he wasn't playing as well middle of the season to warrant getting a lot more minutes than he did, in my opinion. I also would throw in there, to keep him, it would have cost a pretty penny NIL-wise.
Gotcha.
And was he worth that commitment? I don't know.
Last thing. I think for those athletes that are maybe in high school and you feel like you need to play more, and maybe your time hasn't come yet, maybe you're only a sophomore, maybe you're only a junior, watching Dane last year was the perfect example of a guy that did his work. Right, they've said it 100 times. He could have pouted. He could have just said, "I'm done. I'm checked out." Instead, what he did was he kept working, even though he wasn't playing. And then look what happens near the end of the year. When you think back to the season last season, he's not going to be the first guy I think of. Terrence Shannon's going to be that guy, etc. But I'm going to have like this soft spot in my heart for what Dane Danger did for Illinois, and you just ripped off a lot of the reasons. Mm-hmm. And I think that's kudos to him for doing that. And for staying the course, and being ready to go, and he did that, and I thought that was big for Illinois, big.
We got to catch a break. We can circle back to some more Illini basketball chatter. We got some more text to get to, but we do got to catch a break because we got Jeff Jones, Belleville News Democrat, coming up next to talk some St. Louis Cardinals. Buckle in for that
Yay.
One. This is The Drive.